Before I begin, as my custom is, I will say a short word of prayer just to ask God to be with me as I share these words, and for each one of us to open our hearts to God for this message. So let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it's such a celebration to be here this morning, to be here for Haven. And Lord, the message that you've given me this week to share is something that I believe each one of us needs to consider. And Lord, be with all your people here this morning. Give them the blessing. Open their hearts to receive this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you guys know, our Olympics just wrapped up last week. And the Olympics is a four-year event. You wait 4 years for it to happen, and then it's 2 weeks, and then it's over. But for the Olympians, it's not 4 years, it's their entire life. Their entire life, morning, noon, and night. They're waking and sleeping, eating and breathing, training for the Olympics. That is their whole purpose to life. Their purpose is to train to be the best. They're training to receive that gold medal and that glory that lasts for only 2 weeks or for 4 years until it's all over again the next time. And as I was thinking about the Olympics and how these athletes train, I wanted to make a connection between that and the Christian experience, because Christians are not athletes that train necessarily their bodies and their minds to be the best at jumping really high or running really far or running really fast or throwing something really far. Instead, they train in a different way. They train in a spiritual war to be spiritual athletes. And so there's a text in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. That makes this comparison between an athlete and a Christian. It says, verse 24, "Do you not know that everyone who runs in a race, they all run to win first place? And everyone that strives for first place is temperate in all things, except they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I, therefore, so run, not as one who expects to lose. No. And I don't fight as someone who merely shadow boxes and punches the air. No. I keep my body subjected. I train my body and bring it into a place where I know that it will last. It will be strong, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul here is making an analogy between athletes and Christians, and he's saying that there's some subtle similarities that maybe we haven't considered. Firstly, when I was thinking about this, I noticed that athletes are training to get first prize. You don't train to get third place. You don't train to get second place. You train to be the best. You want to get that gold medal, receive that crown of a wreath or whatever it is, and all the glory. And the Bible says that we too are in a race. And in this race, we're training to get to heaven. Our prize is eternal life. Our prize is seeing the face of Jesus and Him saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom." And it's interesting, the Bible has other things. Yes, a gold medal for those who train in the Olympics, but for Christians, do you know that we too will receive a crown and that we will receive a white robe, a perfect, spotless white robe? And we too will also receive some form of glory, having the ability to sit on the throne with Jesus himself. And friends, that is something that I think is worth striving for. No more pain, no more suffering, eternal life and perfect bliss and happiness. You can't compare it. You can't even imagine it. How can you compare 70 years with infinity? It doesn't exist. There's no direct comparison. But in order to receive this prize, there's something that Paul also brings out, is that those who run the race must follow the rules of the race. Those who attempt to get a gold medal in the Olympics, what happens if their foot steps over that white line? Even a centimeter, they're disqualified. What happens if you're throwing the javelin and you take an extra step too far? Your javelin throw is not counted. And Jesus says that for those who try to climb up into the kingdom some other way, they will not receive eternal life. He has a place for those. And let that place not be for any one of us. And in the Olympics, it's interesting, back when Paul was around, only Greek-born people were allowed to compete in the Olympics. It didn't matter how fast you thought you were, if you weren't Greek, you couldn't compete. And it's interesting that that rule has a direct correlation for those who are running the race of life to reach heaven. If you want to reach heaven, guess what? That's nice. But if you're not running by the rules, you're not going to make it. Did you know that only sons and daughters of God will make it to heaven? Only sons and daughters. And it's up to us to decide whether or not we are a son or a daughter of God. It's free of charge. You don't have to pay for it, but you do have to choose it. You have to decide whether or not you will accept eternal life. Jesus said unto them in John 3:3, "Surely, surely, I say unto you, except you are born again, you cannot receive the kingdom." You cannot receive the kingdom of God unless you are born again. There are rules to the game. So what does it mean to be born again? Well, Peter said it this way. When they had heard some preaching, they said, "What do we do that we should have eternal life?" What is it that we need to do? He said, "Repent and be baptized and accept Jesus into your life as King, and you will be saved." Repent and be baptized. But friends, this isn't a sermon of condemnation. This isn't a sermon to scare anyone into doing something because they don't want to lose it. No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Everyone who accepts that name can be saved. And it's because he loves you and me that we should not perish, but have eternal life with him. And friends, it's a free gift. Well, being born Greek and not stepping outside the boundary lines are two simple ways of explaining a Christian's experience in running this race. We need to be a child of God, and we need to follow God's rules. And God's rules are not unreasonable. Who here would say that people who kill others should be allowed to live in society? No, absolutely not. That's not unreasonable. Who here thinks that it's good for kids to badmouth their parents? Absolutely not. That's not reasonable. Those are God's laws. What's unreasonable about God's laws? Nothing. In fact, God's laws are what allows life to exist here on earth in peace. And the Sabbath is one of those laws, something that is often overlooked and not considered as something genuine and something of importance. The Sabbath, having 24 hours to spend with God and your family in just taking it easy so you don't work yourself to death, trusting God has it under control for 24 hours is a blessing, not a curse. Well, friends, there's another analogy. He says that I put my body underneath myself. What he's saying is he puts his mental capacities above his physical body. You might think of the greatest athletes or the greatest known athletes. If you even were to think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you say he was an exceptional bodybuilder. All Olympic athletes are exceptional at what they do. Simone Biles is the best at what she does in the world. But there's something that went wrong in her performance when she went up there. She said the pressure was so much she couldn't perform her duty, which was to be the best. And so he says, don't you know that everyone who runs a race is temperate in all things? What does temperance mean? Well, I've heard some say that, you know, I don't drink all the time. I just do it in moderation. I don't smoke all the time. I just smoke in moderation. I don't do these bad things all the time. I just do it in moderation. Is that temperance? Is temperance only hitting your partner once in a while? Is temperance only yelling and screaming when you're upset once in a while? No, that's not temperance. That's you're out of control once in a while. Think about it. And is it okay for athletes to be out of control if they're striving for gold? No, it's not. Athletes must keep their body in subjection in order for them to receive the prize. And so this crown, this incorruptible crown of eternal life, is only received by those who are willing to put their body second, put their thoughts and desires and wishes for themselves secondary to who? Christ, who says, I am the way, I am eternal life. He says, broad is the way. Broad is the way, and there are many people out there living in broad paths, but straight and narrow is the way to eternal life. And friends, if you want to have eternal life, we must be temperate in all things. Moving on in our analogy, I found that there's something that athletes all do, and I don't remember his last name, but his first name is Eliud, and I can't remember, Capoce. Eliud Capoce. He is one person out of 7 billion in the world who has run a 26-mile marathon in under 2 hours. No other human being on earth has run 26 miles in under 2 hours. One in the world. He keeps his eyes on the prize. He was so far ahead of the other athletes in the Olympics, they were like 5 minutes behind him. 26 miles in under 2 hours. How does one person keep their eyes on the prize? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking to Jesus. Why? Why Jesus? Why not Buddha? Why not someone else? Why not just treating everyone nice? It's hard to say, but if Christ truly is eternal life, if he truly is the way, the truth, and the life, there is no other way. Has anyone else ever resurrected themselves from the dead? You just died and then you decided, I'm going to wake up? Because no one else has ever done that. Only Jesus. And Jesus, having done that, can teach us the ways of life as well. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what joy was that? The joy of spending his life with you and me. He endured being nailed to the cross. They took his hands and feet, stuck metal objects through them, and hung them up to dry. And because he wasn't dying fast enough, they decided to stab him. Friends, why would he go through that pain unless he really, truly loved you and me? He kept his eyes on the prize that he knew that God would see him through, his Father would see him through, and that he could stand face to face with you and me one day. Despised the shame, and once he was resurrected, sat down next to his Father in heaven, where he is right now. Friends, you and I have the opportunity today to accept Jesus into our lives, to accept his death for the penalty of breaking the Ten Commandments for us, that we can live a perfect, holy, sinless life forevermore. Athletes keep their eyes on the prize, but there's something else special about athletes. They're not just doing this alone. No. They didn't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to run 26 miles in under 2 hours. Not a chance. Athletes have a secret weapon, and you and I, friends, have a secret weapon too. They have a coach. They have somebody who can train them, wake them up on time, set them to eat the right food every waking moment of the day. Their coach is really their right hand. They are walking them through this process. And you and I have a coach too. It says that for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Does that mean? What does that mean for you and me? The Spirit of God leading my life? It means that when I pray, I'm literally talking to somebody. I'm not just saying empty words. I'm speaking to someone, and that someone is in heaven, and he owns the universe. The owner of the universe can live inside of you and teach you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. There's no better coach. There's nobody closer. Nobody who knows what you're going through more than God himself living inside of you. You can make it through anything in life. He can fill the desires of your heart. He can take away those things that are holding you back. Jesus living inside of you is your coach, and he will help you to get the victory. And finally, friends, in order for athletes to win, they must put it all on the altar. Do you think that Olympic athletes have sacrificed anything to get where they are? Do you think that they go out dating because they just want to have friends and date and play the dating game? Do you think that they just go out and party on a Friday or Saturday night because they just want to have fun once in a while? What do you think about their family? Do you think they are loaded down with the cares of their family? Unfortunately, I don't think so. They have sacrificed everything in their life to get first place. And friends, it's no different for us. It says that by faith, when Moses was going to be Pharaoh in Egypt, he was going to be the most important person on the earth, he grew up, he refused to accept it. He didn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, he chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of the fleeting pleasures of a sin-filled life. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than receive all the treasures of the world of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to that great reward. Friends, we too must sacrifice if we too are going to receive eternal life. And finally, my last thought for you this morning is that you must actually get involved. No Olympic athlete wins by sitting on the bench. Nobody's going to win gold just by watching someone else take it from them. You have to take responsibility and get involved in the game. You got to get out there and run. You have to fight to win if you want to win. He says, don't just listen to God's word, James chapter 1. Don't just listen to God's word. Don't just listen to fancy sermons and somebody preaching God's word. Get involved. Do God's word. Yeah, it makes sense to me not to hit my partner and not to yell and scream. That makes sense. But if you're not going to stop, what sense does it really make? You have to do what the Bible says in order to receive the promise of what the Bible says. It makes perfect sense, friends. Well, if that wasn't enough, remember Lot's wife. Lot had been a Christian. He had been living his life, and he thought he was following God. He thought he was doing everything right. But when God asked him to do something, he had difficulty in doing it. Do you remember the story of Lot? He went to Sodom and Gomorrah because it was an easier lifestyle. It was more comfortable. The food was nicer. The homes, well, they were nicer, but they were more expensive. But the point is that Lot had trouble leaving it all behind when God asked him to do something. And friends, let that not be you or me. If God is asking you to do something today, don't wait. Don't hold on to what it is that you're holding on to. Surrender that to Christ and say, Lord, I want you to help me through this to make the right decision. Because when he leads you out of Sodom and Gomorrah into the marvelous light, if you look back, you might just lose it all. You might just lose the prize of eternal life, like Lot's wife when she became a pillar of salt. So friends, don't look back. When Jesus calls you, accept the call. Follow him with all your heart and don't look back. I promise you it will all work out in the end. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, you have given us this example of the athlete to teach us what it takes to receive eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of life and the gift of Baby Haven and this joy and treasure that we can all cherish as the family of God. As we dedicated him today to help him to run this race on the right track with the best equipment and the best training, Lord, bless his journey. And be with us in our journey, Lord, as we are learning to run this race. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.